Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Connie Kulbaum-Jonk, and we're going to be talking about play and kids. But first of all, good morning to you, Connie.
Good morning.
Connie, we need to talk a little bit about your life and your experience in Atlantic. Let's start there and get people reacquainted with you.
Well, I grew up in Atlantic, and I've always been grateful for the start that it gave. It was a safe place, a good place, and even now when I drive back through there, it just warms my heart. I graduated in 1958, but through the years, you know, I still have girlfriends that I go back and have coffee with and that kind of thing, and it's just a precious place for me.
And as you look back, because we're going to talk about your future education, but as you look back, did you feel like you got a good education in Atlantic High School and elementary school?
Yes, I did. I had supportive teachers, Miss Delane, Miss Seivert, Miss Becker. I worked for Coach Hunter for years at Sunnyside, and that was, it was a summertime education project, but he was the most fair man, and he always used to say, you know, I'll back you with whatever you say. If I disagree with you, we'll talk about it, and then you might do it differently the next time. But he was just a neat guy to have in my corner, and I am always grateful for Ms. Howarth, because is, are, and was, and were straightened out for you in her class, and that has been very helpful for me throughout a lifetime.
Yeah, I often hear people who, you know, had Miss Howarth as a teacher mention her as one of the teachers that had impact forever.
Yes. I mean, when I hear somebody use those words in a wrong fashion, her face pops into my mind.
Interesting picture, Connie.
And Mr. Clausen, I feel like I got a really good in education.
Well, Connie, I think of you as one of those lifelong learner lovers. So let's talk about your education and when it happened and what happened after you left Atlantic.
Okay. Well, I went to Oakland and I raised my family, and in doing so, at one point I typed my son's paper. He was at Simpson College, and I typed it, and I scolded him, and I said, Lanny, this is sixth grade work, and we're paying big bucks for it. And he took it back, and he got an A, and they were going to publish it, and I thought, well, goodness, I could do that. So the next year, I started at Iowa Western just to check it out to see if I really could do it, because I just really didn't know whether or not I had the brains for college. But they were so supportive and encouraging, and so I did a year there, and then I was able to get through Creighton and get my bachelor's in two more years at Creighton, and there I had the wonderful experience of taking Black history, which wasn't, you know, this was 1982 or 81, and that was new history for me, and then I took Living Religions of the World and Contemporary Moral Problems. The Living Religions was with Dr. Malena, and that was just a gift. I was glad I was raised Methodist, but I could see how I could have been a part of any of the others had I been in that place and time. And then,
so that sort of opened the door to you to say, there is so much more out there that I want to learn.
Oh, it just really opened the door. And then I went on to UNO and got my master's in social work and got to play with people's lives for 17 years. I worked in child protective services first, and that was an eye-opening experience. And then as a therapist to support people in being whole and recognizing the life experiences that people could have and still be whole and speaking to me. It was awesome. I always used to think I'd heard it all, and then the next day I'd go in and I'd think, no, I had not heard it all.
Yeah, everybody's unique and everybody has a unique story. And you could write a book about that, Connie, if you wanted to, either fiction or real.
I really could. And then after I retired, I took life coaching. So I went into working with helping people realize their dreams versus working with some of their nightmares. So that was a new experience. Mm-hmm. And then we continue on now. I've retired, basically. I still do a little coaching just for fun. But we've joined the Tri-Faith Center here in Omaha, which it has been another education in living together in a peaceful universe with the Islamic, Jewish, and Christian faith. And it's just up the street from us, and it's on a block or an area that used to be a Jewish golf course. Hmm. And
so now it's like a religious campus.
They have a wonderful campus, but all the buildings are connected by a path that goes across a creek. And guess what the name of the creek is? Hell's Creek.
I was going to think something like faith, but no, it's just the opposite.
But that was the name of the creek before any of this got started, so it just stayed in place.
You bet. Well, Connie, we better talk about this program, this presentation that's coming up, because you and your husband, Mark Ware, are supporters of this. You've started a series, and this is the first one, and it's about children and play. Tell us a bit more about that.
Well, excuse me. I've got this crazy throat.
It's a season.
Peter Gray has written a book, Play Deficit Disorder, A Worldwide Crisis and How to Solve It Locally.
Our
lecture series is with the psychological science department at Creighton University, and we've set up this series to continue through the years. And this will be our first one, and Peter Gray is coming on Thursday, October 3rd at 6 o'clock to the Hicks and Lead Auditorium. And I'm just really looking forward to it because I do see, you know, in the time that I raised children and when I was raised, you know, there was that you just go play and have fun and that. And what he has really looked at is our children have lost something in what's happening now, where it's just all organized play. You know, the creativity that we were actually getting by going off and playing by ourselves without adult supervision was really a part of our emotional, social, and intellectual well-being that is being noted as diminished with our children of today. So they're really his work is to try to establish ways to have this back again in our communities and in our homes. And I'm really looking forward to hearing more about, you know, what he has to say.
I'm thinking, Connie, that many people listening, you know, our age and older, whatever, could tell lots of stories about how they played. I mean, I remember somebody here in town saying, I left home at 8 in the morning, played all day, and I went home for supper, and my mom didn't worry about me. Wow, that's pretty amazing. But that was all their own organization. It was not scheduled by somebody else. So it's really changed.
And you learn to play well with others, or even just the quiet time by yourself, you did it by yourself and you played, you know, and your mind was working at those times to make things happen. And I think it was a place where I gained confidence and competence, and it came within myself as opposed to being laid on or directed.
Yes.
And I think it is something we need to consider. So I'm really anxious to hear, and my children, it gave me my sanity to say to them, hey, go play.
Go play. Okay.
Then I could maybe get some stuff done too.
You bet. So, Connie, we need to remind people that this is open to the public, and
yes,
it is at the Hickson Lee Auditorium, and it is Thursday, October 3rd, coming right up,
yep,
at 6 p.m. So you might want to go, yep, on over if you're at all concerned about children and play. Maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're a parent, whoever would be welcome to come. So we want to thank you very much, Connie Kulbaum-Jonk, for visiting with us and telling us about this program. And
well, it's been my pleasure, LaVon, and I really admire what you are doing, and thank you for including me in this endeavor.
You bet. Until next time, here's been one of my favorite sayings for a long time: play is the business of children.